الله الرحمن الرحيم. كتاب التوحيد. The ruling on using Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and swearing by his name and calling someone the King of Kings. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وحكما وهدى. أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضى. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم صل على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, respected brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
It's very good to see you, brothers, and we welcome you to tonight's class, inshallah. And I pray to Allah that He make it beneficial for us and that He give us the understanding and the knowledge of His religion and give us the comprehension of the Tawheed, or the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going over the commentary of the book Kitab al-Tawheed by the great Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, one of the scholars who revived the sciences of Tawheed and Tafsir and others, inshallah. And last time, in the dars that we had previously, we spoke about the importance of attributing all of the blessings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this is part of Tawheed, to acknowledge that whenever we receive a blessing, that we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to our own actions, or to because of the work of so-and-so, or because of an idol or some other god. Of course, everything, all the blessings comes to us. We should always say, this came to us from Allah, or by Allah's pleasure. And we always say, Alhamdulillah, praises are to Allah. So the next chapter here, chapter number 42. قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and do not knowingly make equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, andad. Do not make a partner or an equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so here the author, he brings this ayah, even though he mentioned previously a similar ayah about not making someone equal to Allah, a partner to Allah. And that was regarding the major shirk. When somebody worships or gives another object worship, that is called nid in Arabic. Nid, in Arabic, it means an equal. And andad is the plural of nid. So Allah says, do not make andad to Allah, and you know it, partners to Allah. And so here we have the words of Ibn Abbas about this ayah. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he says that this ayah, andad, it is talking about a type of shirk that is more hidden than a black ant crawling on a black rock on a dark night. It is the saying of somebody, Wallahi wa bihayatik. Sometimes some people, they swear, they say, I swear by Allah and I swear by your life. Or they say, I swear by my life. Or I swear by my by so and so. Also, Ibn Abbas, he continues, and people, they say, the shirk that he's talking about in this ayah is when somebody says, if it wasn't for the dog, the thief would have come. Or if it wasn't for the duck and made the noise, the thief would have come in the house. And also a man saying to his companion, as Allah and you wish. These are all types of shirk in statements, in the way that people talk. Also, Ibn Abbas continues, and a man saying, if it was not for Allah and so and so, something would have happened. So then he says, do not include so and so. All of this is shirk. Recorded by Ibn Abu Hatim. So here Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he is describing for us different types of statements that lead to shirk with Allah. In fact, they're called minor shirk. How did he describe it? Like a black ant on a black rock on a dark night. Why did he describe it this way? Because people, they commit the shirk unknowingly. It's so hidden they don't even realize that they're actually committing a type of shirk, what they call minor shirk. They might say these type of statements. They say, I swear by my life. I swear by my grandparents. These types of oaths by other than Allah are considered shirk. Minor shirk. They could lead a person to completely leaving Islam. Also, if a person were to say, if it was not for the dog, then the thieves would have come. See here? What is wrong with this statement? If it was not for the dog, the thieves would have come. Yes. He's attributing the being saved from the thieves to a dog. Who really saved him from the thief? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should he have said? If it wasn't for Allah, then the thief would have come. Or, if it wasn't for Allah and then the dog, the thief would have come. But he should give the attribute, the cause from Allah. Because in fact, in the end, it's Allah. If Allah wanted to, the dog would have been there, the thief still could have come. Right? So he shouldn't attribute being saved to the dog. And so this is something Ibn Abbas is warning us about. That we might think that these causes are actually, these asbab are really what saved us. But it's actually Allah, the musabbib al-asbab, who is the one who saved us. And even the speech, even maybe in one's heart, he knows that Allah is the one who saved him. But even the way that we say it, it should be said, we should avoid these type of statements that might imply somehow a type of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? If it wasn't for the duck, the thieves would have come. Well, the duck is quacking, maybe he's scared of thieves, but it doesn't. We shouldn't attribute it to the duck. We should say thanks to Allah. If it wasn't for Allah, we would have been harmed. Allah is the one who made the dog bark, right? Or the duck to quack. So this is a subtle matter that Ibn Abbas is speaking about. Again, this is not open shirk, but it's what they call minor shirk. It's a shirk in the way we speak. Also, if somebody says, as Allah wills and you will. As Allah wills and you will. What has he done? He's made Allah's will equal to the will of a human being. He's made somebody equal to Allah in his will. It should be as Allah wills, that's it. Or as Allah wills, then afterwards, then whatever you will. But we shouldn't use and with Allah's will. Anything with Allah, we should never use and. Allah wills, we shouldn't say and you will. Similarly, a person, he says, if not for Allah and so and so. If it's not for Allah, if it was not for Allah and so and so. As if we made so and so equal to Allah. No. I think the point is clear on this hadith, inshallah. Let's go to the next hadith. This hadith is narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. And he reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever swears by other than Allah has committed disbelief or shirk. Whoever swears by other than Allah has committed disbelief or shirk. Now, so here, when a person makes an oath, I swear by Allah. If they swear by other than Allah, I swear by this chair, I swear by this house, I swear by the Kaaba, all of these things are shirk. In fact, what should one say? I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. And this is going to come actually in the next chapter. So whenever we swear, we make an oath, we should swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, swearing falsely by Allah is more beloved to me than having sworn truthfully by other than Allah. You understand the statement, Fakim? If somebody, they swear by Allah falsely, he said, Ibn Mas'ud, he said, this is more beloved to me than swearing by other than Allah and saying the truth. Which is worse? Which is worse? Making a false oath by Allah, he's lying, right? Or he's telling the truth but he's swearing by other than Allah. Which one is worse? Swearing by other than Allah, right? Because that's shirk. Which is worse? Lying, what they call yamin ghamus, swearing by Allah on a falsehood, or making shirk with Allah? Which one is worse? Shirk. Shirk with Allah makes a person go, lead them out of Islam if they do an oath by other than Allah. They say, I swear by Jesus, I swear by Angel Jibreel, I swear by the Bible, I swear by the Kaaba. These are things that giving, when we make an oath, it's as if we're praising that thing, giving it a higher status. That's why we're swearing by it, because we want to show how truthful our statement is. We choose something that is very honored to, and we use that to swear by it in order to make our statement more true. You don't choose something very little, I swear by this, the thread on the carpet. You choose something that you consider big and honorable. Some people say, I swear by my grandmother's grave, because they consider that so honorable. Who is the most honorable? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these other things people swear by, they're all going to perish one day. They swear by a house, a rock, a person. All these things are going to perish. So is that really giving their oath some any strength? It's not. But if you swear by Allah, Allah is eternal. So that really makes the oath strong and true. So this is something we should avoid. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu from the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not say as Allah has willed and so and so willed. Rather say as Allah has willed then so and so has willed. Recorded by Abu Dawud. And finally, it is reported by Ibrahim al-Nakhai that he dislikes one to say, I seek refuge and in Allah and in you. He permitted one to say, I seek refuge with Allah, then with you. And he said, do not say, if not for Allah. What one should say is, if not for Allah, then so and so. Not, if it was not for Allah and so and so. You should use then. Because when you say then, it's showing the order. That Allah is first, He's the one who causes everything. Then the other things come after. You hear Shaykh As-Sa'di in his commentary, he says that in this ayah, they make partners to Allah, andad. Before, I mean, we talk about major shirk, which is worshipping idols, worshipping people, calling on them. This is a more minor form of partnership with Allah, which is that in the speech, the way we talk, which is swearing by other than Allah, attributing some occurrence to other than Allah. Like if it wasn't for the guard, the thieves would have stolen the property. If it wasn't for the medicine, I would have died or gotten sick. Right? If it wasn't for such and such a doctor, I would have perished. These things are in speech as if we're making those things equal to Allah. So even in the way we attribute things, we should not say it in this way, because it negates our tawheed, our complete trust in Allah, that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so everything is initiated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tawheed is not complete until in our hearts, in our speech, and in our actions, all of these things, they are completely making Allah above everything else. Even the way we talk, the way we act, and the way we believe, we have to not make anybody equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright. Is that clear, this chapter here? Any questions on this? Inshallah. Alright, the next chapter here, which is very interesting as well. What is said about someone who is not satisfied by swearing by Allah? Okay, so let's read here the hadith, it will become clear what is meant here. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not swear by your forefathers. Whoever swears by Allah, trust him. And whoever swears by Allah, then accept it from him. Whoever does not accept it, then he is not from those who are obedient to Allah. He is not from Allah." Recorded by Ibn Majah with a Hassan Shaykh. So what does this mean here? This narration from the Prophet ﷺ, that first of all, a person, when you have, you're dealing with another person and he's an honest person, he's an upright, a righteous person who fears Allah, and you ask him something, "Did you do this? Is this true?" He says, "I swear by Allah it is true." Okay? Now here, then a person has to accept his oath. He is required to believe his oath and be content with his oath. Because there's no reason to reject his truthfulness. And when a person swears by Allah, the Mighty, the Majestic, and then we reject it, then that is showing disrespect to the name of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We have to accept that oath. Because he's an honest person, and in his heart he makes Allah great. So if he's swearing by Allah's name, we should believe him. That's part of Tawheed in Allah, when we believe in the greatness of Allah, that we should not reject somebody who swears by the name of Allah. If he's an honest and truthful person, and there's no reason to disbelieve him, we should accept that. Because by rejecting that, it's as if we're making him swear by something else. Say for example, if someone says, "I swear by Allah that I didn't do this." Then you tell the person, "I want you to swear that Allah's punishment will come on you. Or I want you to swear that your wife is divorced if you didn't do it." As if you're belittling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He swore by Allah. Allah is so great. He took Allah's name. And you're telling him, "I swear to divorce my wife." What is more greater, divorce or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah, when somebody swears by Allah, we should respect that. Out of respect for Allah. Because that person, by taking Allah's name, if we reject his oath, like for example, let me just give an example of Bakim. Bakim, you say, "I swear by Allah, I prayed Maghrib prayer." And I tell him, "No, I don't believe you. I don't believe you." That's how am I treating Allah's name if I say that? He swore by Allah. And I say, "I don't believe you." It's like belittling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's making an oath by the Lord of the universe. We should have respect for Allah. And out of respect for Allah, we accept his statement. As long as there's no reason to disbelieve what he's saying, and he's an honest person, and he's a trustworthy and righteous person. But say there's a disbeliever, or somebody who is a fasiq, an evil person, and he's known to be a liar, and he comes to you and he says, "I swear by Allah, I need this money." Do we have to believe that person? In this case, the ulama say that we don't have to believe them because that person himself does not feel Allah's greatness in his heart. He himself, by his own action, his own corrupt belief, he has shown that he doesn't respect Allah's name. So because we know that he doesn't respect Allah's name inside of his heart, then when he swears by Allah, we don't have to believe him because he's not ashamed to use Allah's name and disrespect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is basically what the ulama, they say about that. Okay. And the last one here, maybe we'll go cover one more chapter here, inshallah. This chapter here is similar also, which is when a person, there's two chapters actually related, it's a person who says, whatever Allah wants and you want. Whatever Allah wants and you want. We kind of touched on this subject, but the Shaykh, this is actually a very interesting chapter, because the people who warned about this type of minor shirk were the Jews. Inshallah, we'll read the hadith here. From Qutaylah, a Jew came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, "You people have made shirk. You say, as Allah has willed and you have willed. And they say, I swear by the Kaaba." This is a Jewish person telling the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered that when intending to swear by, you should say by the Lord of the Kaaba. And one should say, as Allah will, then as you will. This hadith is narrated by Nasa'i. Also similarly, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ saying, as Allah wills and you have willed. The Prophet ﷺ said, did you make me an equal to Allah? أَجَعَلْتَنِي نِدًا لِلَّهِ Say as Allah wills. Allah's will is always done. That's it. Somebody made the Prophet ﷺ as if he's equal to Allah. So he told him, don't say this. And also finally, another text here by Ibn Majah from Tufail, that the brother of Aisha, through her mother, said, I dreamt I came to a group of Jews and I said to them, you would be the people you claim to be if you didn't say Uzair was the son of Allah. This is a dream that the mother of Aisha had. She saw some Jews and she said, you would be those honored people you claim to be, but you said Uzair is the son of Allah. So in her dream, those Jewish people, they said to her, you would be the people you claim to be if you didn't say as Allah wills and as Muhammad wills, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then the woman in her dream, she said, I passed by a group of Christians and I told them, you would be the people you claim, rightly guided people, if you didn't say that Isa is the son of Allah. And that Isa was the son of Allah. They replied, you would be the people you claim, you Muslims, if you didn't say as Allah wills and Muhammad wills. This is an interesting dream she had. So then she went to the Prophet ﷺ in the morning and she told him the dream. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, have you told anybody about this? She said, yes. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Amma ba'd, Tufail had a dream. Aywa, this dream was by Tufail. Tufail was one of the early Salaf. And he said he had a dream that he narrated to some of you, that there's a statement that I didn't have the chance to prohibit you from, and the statement is saying as Allah and Muhammad wills. As Allah wills and Muhammad wills. But say Allah's will alone. Allah's will alone. Okay, so here basically there's a couple of things the Shaykh mentions here, the Wahhab rahimahullah. One is that, interestingly, the Jews were aware of minor shirk. The Yahud, even in the time of the Prophet, they were aware of matters such as minor shirk, which are, we talked about what minor shirk is, things that lead to major shirk. They were aware of this. They noticed in that statement, they noticed there was some type of making Muhammad's will equal with Allah's will. They noticed that. But the next point that Shaykh mentioned is that some people follow their hawa even if they have knowledge. This is the problem. The Yahud, they understood Tawheed, some of these matters of Tawheed, but they followed their hawa, their whims, and they disobeyed even in spite of the knowledge. This is an important point here, because this is a Jewish person coming and telling the Prophet ﷺ about some matters that the people are doing of shirk. Hamza. Inza. Okay. Also here, the Shaykh he mentioned something very important, is the Prophet ﷺ said, are you making me equal to Allah? Are we making me equal to Allah when we say Allah wills and Muhammad ﷺ wills? So what about that poem? There's a poem, and it says in that poem, I have no one to turn to but Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And the rest of the verses of the poem. Imagine, if the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade the Sahaba from saying what Allah wills and Muhammad ﷺ wills. How come a poet can write, we have no one to turn to but Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? That's clearly shirk. That is worse than the statement. Because in this statement, they made Muhammad ﷺ equal to Allah. In this poem, they're making Muhammad ﷺ greater than Allah. Saying, I have no one to turn to but you, O Prophet ﷺ. As if Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is greater than Allah. This is an even worse form of shirk. You see that? Something we have to be careful. In some of the poetry, they praise Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, but they exaggerate. And that exaggeration can reach the point of shirk. Right? Would any Muslim who understands Tawheed believe there's no one to turn to but Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? Who do we turn to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of Tawheed. So some of the poems, some of the poetry, they exaggerate the status of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ himself forbade it when he told the Sahaba, don't make me a partner to Allah. Are you making me a partner with Allah? He forbade the Sahaba from doing that. Another point here is that when we, in the statement, is when we make Allah and Prophet Muhammad ﷺ equal in the statement, like whatever Allah wills and Muhammad ﷺ wills, this is not major shirk. A person, it doesn't make them out of Islam. But it's something that it is incorrect in its manners, you could say. Because it leads one towards making an equal to Allah. How do we know that this is not major shirk? The Prophet ﷺ, he said when the Tufail had the dream where the Jews and the Christians said, you shouldn't say this statement. Turn it off. We saw that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I didn't have a chance to forbid you. I've been prevented from forbidding you from saying this. If it was major shirk that they were doing, would he have delayed forbidding them? No, he would have right away told them this is haram. But that indicates, or that shows, that it's not something that takes people out of Islam, but it's rather something that one should, it's a minor form of shirk. Minor form of shirk. Maryam, Khali, enough. Okay, and finally, the true dreams are a type of revelation. Tufayl, he saw this dream, the Prophet ﷺ acknowledged what he saw in the dream. So this can actually be from Allah. Sometimes the dreams, they could be a type of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even a normal person, he might see a true dream. But it doesn't become law, it doesn't become sunnah, until the Prophet ﷺ acknowledges it. Right? The Sahabi, he sees a dream that he saw the adhan, he heard the adhan in the dream. This is actually what took place. That adhan did not become sunnah until he told the Prophet ﷺ about the dream, and the Prophet ﷺ accepted it, and he said, yes, this is from Allah. Then it became sunnah. If we see a dream, we don't know if it's a true dream or not. And basically the principle is at the end, after the end of Nubuwwah, after the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, none of the dreams can make halal or haram. Whatever you see in a dream, it cannot make halal what Allah made haram. It cannot make haram what Allah made halal. Somebody sees a dream, became gelatin is halal. In his dream, pork gelatin, something that is made out of pork. He sees in his dream that pork is halal. It's allowed to eat pig. He sees somebody, a man, telling him, Bakim, you're allowed to eat pork. Should he believe that dream? No. Because definitely that dream is from the shaitan. Because it contradicts the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. Even if he saw a righteous person telling him whatever that he saw in a dream, we know that nothing in a dream can contradict what Allah and His Messenger came with. And there's no way to. The Prophet is not a lie. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Allah said, we perfected the religion, so there's no more changing of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, okay, and this is the one related topic. It's 3:30. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Welcome back, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's very nice to see you, brothers, and welcome you for this class on the Tawheed, the Iman and the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the question the brothers they asked during the break about, should we have the fear of anyone other than Allah? Is that your question? Kind of?
To scare
the people, yes, okay. Scaring the people, the Prophet system, he forbade yufzir, to terrorize another Muslim, to make him shocked, like, you know, faza. Because the Yawm al-Qiyamah is faza, people will be shocked. It's not allowed to do that to a Muslim. But to be, you know, your friend, you know that he's not going to be terrorized, but just as a, you know, to say salam to him, or, you know, something that won't terrorize him, is okay, inshallah. You know, like a that's not harmful to the person. Just a, you know, halal joke without saying any lies or anything like that. No, just that's okay, inshallah. So we shouldn't terrorize a Muslim. Not scare a Muslim. Okay, so let's go to the next chapter, inshallah. This is a very important chapter, which is about not cursing time, because time is Allah in the hadith. Whoever curses time has offended Allah. This is the name of the chapter. Now, so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that they say, مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يَهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهَرُ. The disbelievers, they say, it is only this life of this world. We die and we live. Nothing destroys us except time. The time is what destroys us. So here, we see how the mushrikeen, they are attributing death to time, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only believe, these mushrikeen, they only believe in the life of the dunya. They didn't believe in akhirah. And so they say, time is going to kill us. The time is what causes us to die. They didn't attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in the Sahih, the Prophet said, Allah has said, the son of Adam offends me, he curses time, and I am time, I turn the night and the day. قال الله تعالى, يؤذيني ابن آدم يسب الدهر وأنا الدهر أقلب الليل والنهار. Now, and the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تسب الدهر, do not curse the dahr, the time, or the passing of the time. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الدَّهْرِ. Indeed, Allah is the passing of time. Allah is the unfolding of time. You could say dahr, or the translate dahr as time. Maybe a better translation is the unfolding of time, the passing of time in the ages. So here in this hadith, these two hadith, what we learn here is that in the days of Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance before Islam, the people, they used to attribute, they used to think that when events happened, it was, they used to attribute it to time. And they would curse the time. When something bad happened to them, some bad event, they would say, they would curse time. Dahr. They would, and this was due to their ignorance. They were completely ignorant people, and they didn't have, their religion was corrupt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed in this hadith, do not curse time because I am time. What does it mean here, I am time? I turn the day and the night. The answer here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of time. He's the owner of the time. Not that Allah is time itself, but He owns the time. He's the one who causes the events to happen. So if some bad thing happened in history, it's from Allah. We should never curse time, because that was due to Allah's wisdom, Allah's unfolding of events. Time is something that nobody has a control over. Who organizes the events in time, maintains the events? These are all on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz, Allah is the Hakim. He's wise, He caused these events to happen. He caused us to be born on a certain day, to die on a certain day. He caused flood to happen, He caused an earthquake to happen. He caused the prophets to come and nations to be destroyed and other nations to come. These events that we study in history, who is organizing these events in history? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should never curse these events that are happening, because Allah is truly the one behind all of these events, owning them and controlling them. So a person should never curse time, and at the same time, because this, they're cursing Allah in essence, a'udhu billah. When they curse, why did this happen in history? They're cursing Allah. That's number one, it's against religion. Number two, something interesting the Shaykh mentioned, he says it's against the aqal. Because if you're cursing time, are you going to change anything? It doesn't make sense, you can't change what happened. It's better you be patient. You have sabr. Whatever happened, it was from Allah, I have the sabr. They say, cursing time, why did this happen? Curses be to the time that... That doesn't make any sense. Is it going to benefit you by cursing time? No. So the wise person, he has sabr. This is better for him. And by cursing time, that bad event that happened gets worse and worse. It gets bigger, and the person, he closes the door to patience. And so then he loses his tawheed, is even more corrupt, because he's showing impatience with the decree of Allah, which is a type of kufr. And because Allah is, we have to have iman and qada and qadha. And showing displeasure with Allah's decree is a type of kufr. So it negates tawheed. If we question why things happen in history, then this is against tawheed. As for the believer, the mu'min, he believes that the events of time occur by the decree and power of Allah. Dahr, kullu ma yahduth, kullu ma yajri fil kawn, huwa min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a believer, he knows that this is something that is from Allah. Allah doesn't toy around with things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not toy, he should not toy with something that an Allah and His Messenger never asked Him to be responsible for. Are we responsible for what happens through time? Is that in our hands? The events that happen in history, is that in our hands? No, we're not going to be asked about it. So why should we curse it? It's nothing, none of our concern. We should be concerned about what we can do. So this is what the believer does, the mu'min. He accepts what Allah arranges, he submits. Alhamdulillah, whatever happened, there was a fire, this got destroyed, my relative passed away, I lost my job. All of these things, he accepts it. He surrenders to Allah, and by that the tawheed is complete.
and he achieves peace and tranquility. You see how people who don't believe in Tawheed, they don't have any peace either. They always feel agitated. Why did this happen? Why did this? The believer, he surrenders to the Allah's planning, and he finds this is part of his Tawheed, and also it brings him the peace and tranquility. Let's go to the last chapter for today, inshallah. This is a very interesting chapter. This chapter is called The Name Judge of Judges, Qadi Al-Qudah. Qadi Al-Qudah, the Judge of Judges. Yes, that's one of the names that some people, they try to use that name.
King of the Kings.
And that's another one also. King of the Kings or Shah of the Shahs. These are different names that people use. And it only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No king should ever use that name. It's the most hated name to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For anybody in the creation to use, Allah hates that so much. We'll read a few hadith about it, inshallah. It is narrated in a Sahih hadith from Abu Huraira that the Prophet ﷺ said, the most despicable name to Allah is that a man calls himself Malik al-Amlak, King of the Kings. La Malik illallah. There is no king but Allah. This is prohibited. Allah hates it when a man, he says, I'm the King of Kings. There's no king except Allah. Another narration, Sufyan, he said, Shahani Shah.
In India.
Yes. What does that mean?
The Shah
of the Shahs, the top. Yeah. Allah hates that
top
name for a man to say that.
Shahin Shah.
Yeah, that's only the name for Allah. No man should ever use that name. That's the name that belongs to Allah. He is the ruler of the rulers. Yes, you're right, Kibir. And then there's one more narration. أَغْيَدُ رَجُلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَخْبَثُ. The most infuriating man to Allah on the Day of Judgment, and the most filthy person who uses these names, Malik al-Amlak or Shahin Shah. Allah will be very angry with them on the Day of Judgment. Now. And also Akhna, despicable. So here the ulama, they give the rulings from here that it's prohibited to use the name King of Kings, Malik al-Amlak or Shahin Shah. The king? Come. Join us, it's okay, buddy. You feel better, inshallah. Yes, the next one. Also, the ulama, they say, anything that has the same meaning as Malik al-Amlak, King of Kings, any language, doesn't have to be Arabic, my name is Malik al-Amlak. If he says it in Farsi, Shahin Shah, that's the same thing. That's also haram. Any language, King of Kings in English, it's also haram. Any language. Now, and what is important here, the Shaykh says, is to realize the emphasis on this matter in the abstract sense when the heart does not intend such a meaning. So if a person, they have this name, but they don't, even if they don't intend it, that I'm the king of the universe, I'm the king of all the kings, but still it's prohibited, because even though he might not intend it in the heart, it could, some people can get the wrong impression by giving himself that name. And he should realize that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves this name. Only Allah deserves that name. Similar to that also, the next chapter talks about the respecting the names of Allah and changing a name because it is disrespectful to Allah. If somebody has a name that is one of the names of Allah, somebody, he names himself one of the names of Allah, then what should happen in this case? Say somebody, he named himself Ar-Rahman. His name, not Abdul Rahman, just Rahman, Ar-Rahman. What does he have to do in this case? His parents gave him that name, or somehow he got that name. What does he have to do? He has to change it. It's not allowed to use one of the names of Allah as one's own name. Now, and to summa bi asma Allah husna la yajuz. And if somebody has a name that only belongs to Allah, then he has to change that name. Some of the names that are the names of Allah can also be a name of a human being, like Aziz, for example. Aziz is one of the names of Allah, Allah Aziz. But if somebody's name is Aziz, it's okay because it's shared. The creation has that concept. It's allowed to use that name to describe the creation, yes. Abdul Aziz is better. Right. But just the name Aziz or the name Kareem, for example, the name Rahim, these are allowed for creation. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. What is not allowed is names like Ar-Rahman or Al-Ahad. Al-Ahad, only Allah is Al-Ahad. Nothing else, no one else can be Al-Ahad. Some of the names only Allah can be. Some of the names, some of the creation might have some.
My son is Abdul Samad. It is Samad is the name of
yes.
But for the short is, but we are unable to every time to call him Abdul Samad, Abdul Samad. That's why somebody is calling Samad, Samad. Is there any problem?
I think better to avoid that. They should say Abdul Samad. Because Samad means the one who lives forever. Samad, Yasmudu, comes from Samada. Yasmudu means the thing that will live forever. Everything depends on it, and nobody, and it doesn't depend on anybody. Everybody depends on Allah. Allah doesn't depend on anybody. Is that the name of the creation? No.
But by the mistaken days of Samad, there is food for him for them.
Inshallah, you teach them, yeah.
Always telling Abdul Samad.
You should teach them, yeah. Abdul Samad, Abdul Samad, inshallah. Yeah. It's better you teach the people.
My son's name is Muhammad Azizul Islam.
Yes, yes.
Muhammad Azizul Islam and other one name is Qalib.
They call him, not yes. Aziz. Oh. Aziz, as far as I know, because the Allah calls the Aziz in Surah Yusuf. His name was Aziz. The king of Egypt, he calls him Aziz. So it's okay, it's allowed to use the name. No harm, inshallah. But Samad, as far as I know, is only for Allah. Allah is As-Samad. Because As-Samad means everything that depends on Him. That He doesn't need anybody else. So that can only apply to Allah. Nothing in the creation can be As-Samad. So better you teach the people. Inshallah, if they do it out of ignorance, no harm. You know, but now they have to learn. Now that you teach them, you know, because I've heard this also. Very common people, his name is Abdul Rahman. Many people call him Rahman.
Rahman.
And that's very, very wrong.
And Mawla?
Mawla.
Yeah.
Mawla is okay. Because Mawla has two meanings. Mawla could mean Allah, and also Mawla can refer to a slave. It's also called Mawla. So it's okay, yeah. Mawla is, it means a free slave. When you, like Bilal, they call him Mawla. So Anta Mawlana, when we refer to Allah, He's our Mawla. But also our teacher, we call him Mawlana, it's okay. It's different meaning. The same word, but the meaning is different. The same thing, whenever we use one of Allah's names for the creation, it has a different meaning. Not the name, meaning like Aziz for Allah is different than Aziz in the creation. But As-Samad or Ar-Rahman, I think it's, we have to teach the people Abdul Rahman. You can always change the name. It's allowed. The father's right to change to choose a name for the children, inshallah. If it's very hard for people to pronounce, sometimes the ulama say it's better to choose a name that's easy to pronounce. So the child will not grow up, everybody's confused, hard to pronounce his name. They say choose a good name that is easy to pronounce, inshallah.
Yeah.
No. InshaAllah. How are you, Brother Ali?
Good.
Alhamdulillah. Alright, so we'll just go to the last chapter here. We were talking about this section here where it's prohibited to use the name Malik al-Amlaq or Shahin Shah, King of Kings or Shah of the Shahs. In this last chapter here on Shuraih, there was a person named Abu Shuraih. And his nickname, his kunya was Abul Hakam. Abul Hakam, father of the ruler, of the judge. Al Hakam is one of the names of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Allah is Al Hakam. Allah is the judge. And to him is the judgment. But the man, he said, whenever my people have a difference. Yes, Abdul Hakim. Hakim is okay also.
Abul Hakim is not.
Abul Hakim is not. Al Hakim is one of the names of Allah. So Abdul Hakim is okay, but his nickname, it was not Abdul Hakim, it was Father Abu Hakim. Father of Hakim. And they said, the reason they call me Abu Hakim, Father of the Judge, is everybody comes to me for their disputes. I have to sort out their disputes. I judge between them. And everybody accepts my judgment. So they started calling me Abu Hakam, the father of the judge. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, what is better than this? I'll choose a better name for you. What are the names of your kids? He said, my kids, I have Shuraih, Muslim, and Abdullah. He said, who's the oldest? He said, Shuraih. So then he said, your name is Abu Shuraih. That's much better. That's a better name. This is narrated by Abu Dawud. So here, what did the Prophet ﷺ do when he had a name that was one of the names of Allah? And it's that meaning, Al-Hakam, it's different than judge, like a worldly just qadi. Al-Hakam means the final authority, basically. Al-Hakam, the final judge, the one who judges between all of creation. Right? So that name should not be for anything of the creation. So the Prophet ﷺ changed his name to Abu Shuraih. Instead of Abu Hakam, Abu Shuraih. So here the person, the Shaykh, he gives a commentary that no one should make an equal to Allah in their intention or saying or deeds. When even those the names we use, the sayings, we should not make somebody equal to Allah. Not in their intention, of course, when we're worshipping, we only worship Allah. In our deeds, when we intend our worship, we should only intend Allah, not intend anybody else with Allah. In our deeds, we should only bow to Allah, make dua to Allah, pray to Allah, make dua for Allah. And in our sayings, the words that we use, we should always choose the words that do not make the creation equal to Allah. It has to be only for Allah, making Allah superior to everything else. Because that's like a type of shirk. When we give judge of judges to a creation, as if that we're giving the creation one of the attributes of Allah. Shahin Shah, as if we're giving the creation one of Allah's attributes, or even ruler Abu al-Hakam, father of the rule. That's also one of Allah's attributes, the Hakam. And why is it so strict on this issue of names? Out of being precautious, being careful when it comes to matters of Tawheed. What we learn in Islam, that Islam guards Tawheed. Because all the other religions started on Tawheed, and they ended up going astray. So Islam being the final message, it guards Tawheed very carefully. And from the matters of guarding the Tawheed, is even the words that we use, we should be careful not to say anything that implies or could lead to shirk with Allah. Even we refrain from expressions that could imply somebody might hear it and he might think it could imply some kind of partnership with Allah. Maybe the person who uses the name, he doesn't intend it, walaikum salam. But somebody hears that name and he for example, King of Kings. Maybe somebody just using that name in a joking way. You know, this is King of Kings, he's just as a joke. If somebody else hears that, then he might get the feeling that he is trying to make a partnership with Allah. Or say there was a great king in history, one of the great kings of the dynasties. and they say, he's the King of Kings. As if he's a little bit trying to put himself near to Allah. That name, it's like implying that he's almost like Allah's name. You know, so we should stay away from these names that could imply a type of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these are things that only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, so this is about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any questions on the chapter, inshaAllah? JazakAllah khairan. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allah knows best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.